have your Bibles handy, we ask that you would turn with us to the book of James, the New Testament book of James. And we'll read in chapter number 4 this morning, James chapter number 4. I'll ask if you will stand to your feet as we reverence the reading of God's precious word, James chapter number 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 13 this morning. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's the reading of James chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Father, thank you for your precious word and leadership in the scriptures today, Father. We ask your blessing. We ask, God, you would take this precious passage and open it, Father, to our intellect. Open it, God, to our soul. Open it to our spirit, Lord, that we might receive the engrafted word of God. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us, God, to communicate, to broadcast, to preach, to share the word of God. And Lord, would you give us light, give us revelation, give us, Father, the help of God. Teach us your word, Father. We ask your blessing upon our time together, and we pray, Father, that you would help us as we go forward. In Jesus' name, we ask these favors, and all God's people say, amen. We thank you for standing with us. I want to preach on this thought today from this text. Prescription for a new year. Prescription for a new year. Now, it is amazing how we make plans every single day. And many times we do so without the thought of what God wants in our life, or we leave him out of the picture or of the equation entirely. We plan retirement, vacation, weddings, other activities, and then we turn around and say, Lord, will you smile on it? Will you bless it? Because I planned it. The question would be, I remember in the scriptures how that we had Jairus, who came to the Lord Jesus and said, my daughter is dying, and he grabbed Jesus. I think he grabbed him by the arm and began to lead Jesus towards his house. And then the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And they had to go through that whole little situation there. And Jairus was waiting and thinking, why is this lady stopping us? My daughter is sick. And then a runner comes and says, trouble not the master any further, for your daughter's dead. And now Jairus thinks it's over. I've waited too late. But now the Lord Jesus turns and grabs Jairus by the forearm and says, come on, Jairus, she's not dead but sleepeth. Let's go to your house. You see, here's the question. Who's leading who? Are we leading Jesus? Is Jesus following us? Or are we following Jesus? And oftentimes with our plans, we want him to follow us, and we get in trouble. The book of James is written to Jews who have converted to Christianity, and they're scattered about because of religious persecution. And many of these believers, they've started to live their lives as if God did not exist. They begin to make their plans and doing their things and leaving God out of the picture. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says that we should not plan. I teach my kids all the time, he who fails to plan, plans to fail. The Bible encourages good planning. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18 says, every purpose is established by counsel. We should plan. We need to be wise in the way we plan, and we need to plan accordingly. But plans that dishonor the Lord or plans that leave the Lord out are sinful plans. I want to look at this text now, preaching on prescription for a new year. Number one, there is an attitude not to take. An attitude not to take. Verse 13 again, it speaks of self-sufficiency. Here's a man, he has astute plans. He knows where he's going. He thinks he knows how he's going to get there. He believes that he doesn't need God. Oh, he may say he needs God, but when you read verse 13, God's not anywhere in his thoughts whatsoever. He has an arrogant attitude. Verse 13 again, go to now. You know what that means? Now look here. When I was a little boy, I used to say, looky, looky, looky. Come, looky, look. Go to now, he says. It implies disapproval. It conveys urgency. Here are his words. He says, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city. He's planning on a prospect today or tomorrow. That's his management schedule. But the truth of the matter is, you don't know if you're going to live the rest of this day, much less if you're going to be alive tomorrow. Oh, Pastor Darren, this is a New Year's sermon and you've started out with doom and gloom. No, I'm just telling you there's an attitude that you should not take. He's planned on a place. He says, we're going to go into such a city. You see, he's got the map spread out. This is where I'm going. I believe I know how I'm going to get there. He plans on a period. Look, what is the period? Continue there a year. He's got a model span. How many of y'all this time a year ago knew you'd be alive today? Nobody. How many of you this time a year ago knew what you'd go through? I'm telling y'all, I almost died this last year. Probably multiple times. And I don't even know about some of those times. I'm telling you, his plan is I'm going to go to such a city. I'm going to continue there for a period called a year. I've got a procedure. I'm going to buy. I'm going to sell. I'm going to get my market share. And I'm going to get gain. He said, I'm going to make a profit. You know what's motivating him? Money. I'm going to get rich. I'm motivated by money. I'm talking to somebody today. You're motivated by money. I don't know what's wrong with some of y'all. Some of y'all look at me like, I've got New Year's resolutions. I've got big plans. I've made this goal. I've set this prospect. Did you include God in your New Year's resolution? Did you include the Lord and what you said you was going to do? I ought to give altar call right now already. Some of y'all look at me like I don't like this. There's an attitude not to take. Number two, in verse 14, there's an assumption not to make. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. I'll ask you a question. You've done a good job planning, right? How many of you, your lives have turned out just like you planned? You married that girl you said you was going to marry. You married that boy you said you was going to marry. The kids doing just what you thought they'd do. Your career, listen, there ain't no way that I thought when I was a little feller I was going to be a pastor. I would have laughed at you. Brother Zach, I'd laugh if you said I was going to be a preacher, right? If you said I was going to be over at Christian school, I get out of school, I'm not coming back. What was I thinking? I'm just telling you, how many of you, your plans have worked right out, haven't they? No, the truth of the matter is most of my plans didn't happen. And in fact, most of the time, just the opposite of my plans is what happened. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Hey, years in advance, this guy's talking about a year, period of 1 year. How many people could have predicted that 9/11 was going to happen that very year? How many of the folks could have predicted the tsunami or Hurricane Katrina or the pandemic? Well, it gets quiet, doesn't it? We do not know what shall be on the morrow. And there's a serious question that follows this. What is your life? What is your life? For some of you, your life is drama. It's always got something going on. Always got something being tore up, something tore down. All the time, drama, drama, drama. Your life is a drama. For some of you, your life is a game. For some of you, your life is a fight Always contention. Always looking for the next person to fight. Some of you, your life is a burden. I don't say this to you. Every life is important to God. God sent His Son to die for every single one of us. What is your life? It's valued by your Creator. It's valued by Almighty God. What is your life? I want to read the book of Luke chapter 12. What is your life? Let's go there. Luke chapter 12. Help me, Lord. Verse number, I think I'm going to start in verse 15. Luke chapter 12. Verse 13. Let's look at verse 13. I'm going to read some scripture here. Is that okay? Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Oh, I hit somebody this morning. Oh, boy. He said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life, let me take time out. What was the question? What is your life? What's your life? Jesus said, A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Amen. Many of you, your life, I mentioned it was a game or a fight or a burden. For some of you, your life is about things. Things. What do I own? What do I owe? It is amazing. Your life consists not of the things which you possess. Keep reading. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He's planning on retirement. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he thought life was about. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. He said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What is your life? Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. I could keep reading, I'll stop. But you need to go home and read, what is your life? I'm thinking about a preacher by the name of Charles Finney. I love to read things written by Charles Finney. Charles Finney finished school. He got his law degree. He was hired into a prestigious law firm. He was given a huge office, a beautiful desk, and he said, I'm going to get in here. I'm going to work hard. And listen, this is what came to his mind. What will you do now? I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to make money, money out the ears, and I'm going to be wealthy, and I'm going to be famous. The voice came back, what then? He said, I'll have money. I can live comfortably. Then I'll take my ease. I'll retire. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. What then? Well, I suppose I'll die. What then? I don't know what then. Well, there is a what then. Amen. And in his office, at his desk, he fell under conviction and ran out to the park and got under a tree and he called on the Lord and he got saved and God called him to be a preacher of the gospel. Amen. Let me tell you something. Is there life out there? I went to the Creation Museum and the planetarium, and I even spent time here at the church showing you the Milky Way and all the stars and showing you galaxy after galaxy. And someone says, Preacher Darren, do you think there's life out there? Come here, I want to tell you, I've studied. There is Amen. Life out there. Amen. Martians? Jupiterites? Where are they at, Preacher Darren? Alien life? No, eternal life. Amen. We're just looking into a third heaven. Listen, we're looking to a second heaven, but there's a third heaven that I'm on my way to that the Lord God Almighty has prepared for me and for you. I have not only life here, but I have eternal life. Thank God for it. Well, when life is finished, there's an eternity that you and I are going to live in. And you're worried about today or tomorrow? Honey, you better get worried about the bigger picture. You better make plans. You better make plans to the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. Amen. Go back to our text in James chapter 4. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Here's a sobering answer. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth. We were coming over the mountain, over Black Mountain, and we looked, and there was the most beautiful fog that had just enwrapped one of those mountains. And as we went back the other way, the sunshine had come out, and the vapor was gone. In one trip, that vapor was gone. I came here on a Sunday morning. There was a vapor. As I came up the mountain, when I went home by the end of the service, the vapor was gone. It was the sunshine burnt it away. I used a steamer on my suit, you know, and here I am steaming out my suit, and I watched that vapor. There it was, and it was gone. Let me tell you something. I actually took my papers like this. I went, and I blew the vapor away. Just a little wind moved the vapor. Just some sunshine, some heat moved the vapor. That's really how fleeting your life and my life really is. It's like a frosty breath on a frosty morning. I'm telling you, it's here and it disappears and it's gone. Job said in Job 7:6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. He said in verse number 7, my life is wind. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I went to that Creation Museum and I studied about elephants. The average, write this down, somebody. The average age of an elephant is 70 years. Average. The giant tortoise, 150 years. Average for them. The redwood trees, 3,000 years. You and I don't know. My wife's got some friends, and I've got some friends we went to school with. They're no longer with us. A good friend of mine years ago, his wife was at work, said, I've got a headache, 35 years old. She had an aneurysm. They found her dead, laying face down on her desk, 35 years old. How long do we live? I don't know. But my heart beats like a drum, marching to the grave. And life is short. Amen. And bless God, I'm going to live it for the glory of God. Life is fleeting. Life is fragile. My wife, she's got one of those, I don't know what you call them, you girls probably do, but you got this little thing and you pour some kind of scented oil in there, and it starts getting heated up, and it puts out this most fragrant smell all through the house. And sometimes she likes to mix stuff together and make a fragrant smell, and sometimes it's a pleasant smell, and sometimes it's obnoxious. Don't tell her I said that. And she gets to worry about, oh, we got to cleanse the house, and put all this stuff in there. Ugh. I got to thinking about, is my life, which is a vapor, is my life sending out a fragrance to the glory of God? When you get around me, what do you smell? Bad breath, body odor. Huh, what do you smell? Do you smell the fragrance of a worship and a walk and a service to an almighty God? Or is the smell when you get around me obnoxious and terribly tainted by the world, stained, spotted by sin? Oh, Lord God, there is a smell to worship. When you come to Bethel, there'll be a smell of fragrance. The Bible said it'd be a sweet, savory smell in the nostrils of Almighty God when we worship. Oh, my soul. Listen now. I met with a couple years ago. I mean, they were all excited. They came in. They wanted to meet with me and sat down in my office. I said, okay, well, let's pray. We prayed. I said, y'all called this meeting. What is it? And they said, can you tell us about Jesus? Can you tell us about how to be saved? I mean, they were stumbling for the words. They were so excited. I said, yes, I can tell you about Jesus. Yes, I can tell you all about how to be saved. But I have a question before I start. What brought all this on? Where'd this come from? I got to know this excitement. And they said, it's our son. He came to your church about 3 times and he got saved. And he came home and we noticed he talks different. And we noticed, oh, glory to God, we noticed he's got a different attitude. We've noticed he's got this excitement that we've never seen before. And when we talk to him about it, all we hear is, Jesus, Jesus, and going to church down there at that church. And can you tell us about this Jesus? Can you tell us about this salvation? And Lord God, the whole family, all his brothers, all his sisters, his mama and his daddy, every single one of them got saved. You know why? There's a fragrance. They got a hold of the pleasant fragrance that boy was emitting after he got around Jesus. Honey, I'm telling you, amen, that'll be a fragrance to this vapor that God has given us. Hallelujah. David said, Psalm 102, verse 3, my days are consumed like smoke. David said in 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, there is but a step between me and death. You are not guaranteed any more time further than where you are right now. You ought to praise the Lord. You ought to hug your wife. You ought to hug your husband. You ought to hug your kids. You ought to do it every day God graces you with. I'm on borrowed time. This is the new day God gave me. I've come to church to praise him. I've come to church to glorify his name. Hey, church, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hey, glory. Bless his good name. Number 3, in verse 15, there is an acknowledgement not to forsake. We're talking about the prescription for a new year. The acknowledgement not to forsake. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know what you need to do? You need to submit and bow yourself to the sovereign authority of Almighty God in your life. You ought to say in every aspect of your life, the Lord's will be done. I was looking up old years ago Christian authors. You know, sometimes at the end of their name, you'll see somebody write PhD or MD, or maybe at the front of their name, they'll write D or whatever. But there's one that says DV, 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 DV. What does that mean? Deo volente. It means Lord willing. They used to sign every letter DV, Lord willing. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 16, listen. Matthew 6, verse 10. This is his model prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. At the end of his life, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus was concerned that the will of God be done in his life. Will you hear what I'm telling? Oh, you got to see it. Go with me. The book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 18. We're going into Bible study mode now. The book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 21. Now Paul is talking to the folks from Ephesus. And the Bible says in verse 21, watch what he writes. Acts 18:21, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, comma, if God will. You see that? God's will be done in my life. I hope to come to you again. I hope to return if God's will is for it to be that way. You've got to adopt that mindset, because everything else is about you being in control. And you are not in control. We've already seen how your plans have turned out. Amen. Let's look at another one. In the book of 1 Corinthians, there are many of these scriptures. I just picked three. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 19. But I will come to you shortly, comma, if the Lord will. Amen. He says, I'll come to you shortly if it's God's will. What about chapter 16? Chapter 16, verse number 7. There are many of these. I just picked three. 1 Corinthians 16, 7. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, comma, if the Lord permit. Amen. What about that? He was asking the Lord's will to be done in every aspect of his life. Amen. I want to turn. Matthew chapter 10. I know a lot of turning, but you got to see this. The Bible's good. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 29. I'm going to wait on you to find it. It's very important you see this. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? And the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Two sparrows for how much? A farthing. Interesting. Let's go back to Luke chapter 12. We've read here one time already, I believe. Let's read again. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm waiting on you. Luke chapter 12. I'm going somewhere with this. I know you're thinking, what is he doing? Y'all know math? If there's two sparrows for a farthing, two farthings would be how many sparrows? Four. Read verse number 6. Luke 12, verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? Luke 12, verse 6. We just said one farthing, two sparrows. Two farthings, five sparrows. Well, preacher, they're running a special. You just throwed one in there. Doesn't it have any value? Doesn't it have any worth? I mean, we just established one for two, two for four, right? No, two for five. What about the one? Does he have any value? Oh, yes. He has value. I'm telling you, the sparrow can't fall to the ground without God the Father knowing it. And you hear me? What is your life? God the Father values your life, and all he's asking is you let his will be done in your life. The life he gave you, the life he graced you with, let God's will be done in your life. Amen. Well, you think, well, my future is going to be determined by someone else, someone else's hands. I'm telling you something. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, and he turns it whithersoever he will. Listen, we're not at the mercy of a man. We're at the mercy of God. Don't you want God's will to be done? All right, I'm rounding the term. Here we go. I'm done right here. Go back with me. Back to our text. Thirdly, an acknowledgement not to forsake. Fourthly, there's an application not to mistake. Look at verse 17. I'll just skip ahead. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, do you know, I'm stop right there, do you know that you are to submit to the will of God in every decision, in every plan, in every prospectus that you have in your life? It should be determined by the will of God. If you know to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. It's good to make plans, but you need to make plans according to the will of God. Should I not? Just think about it. I don't know. Help me, Lord. I don't know if I'm going to live through the rest of today. I don't know if I'll live to see tomorrow or the day after. I do not know. But should I not bow to the authority of Almighty God, who controls the rest of my today and who's already there in my tomorrow? Amen. And hear me. When I pray and not acknowledge and ask his will to be done in my life, I'm really selling myself short. Because how much greater are his plans than my plans? Amen. I mean, his plans are above and beyond what I could ever pray for or imagine. Why would I? If I'm praying, I'm just going to do that. I'm selling myself short. I thought you wanted the best for your life. The best for your life is the will of God to be done in your life. I'll close here. A little feller, young man, young teenager, been trying to witness to his friend who's just a little bit older, and his friend was walking down the road, pulling a calf on a rope. And he said, "What you doing with that calf?" He said, "I'm taking it to the market and I'm going to sell it." He said, "Don't you mean if it's the Lord's will, you're going to take it to the market and sell it?" He said, "Son, you leave the Lord out of this. This is my calf. I bottle fed it. I've raised it. I fed it hay. I gave it provender. It's my rope. It's my calf. You leave the Lord out of this." And the boy went on down the road a spell. Two boys jumped out from the bushes, beat him up, blacked his eye, busted his lip, busted his nose, stole his cow. He's walking back up the road, dragging the rope. His buddy says, "Hey, what happened to your calf?" He says, "Oh, two boys down the road jumped and beat me up, busted my lip, blacked my eye, and now I'm on my way home, Lord willing." If you don't get, I'm telling you, I could not get away. The Lord's want me to preach a series of messages called New Things. And I could not get away. That's what I want to preach on, the new birth. I want to preach on the new man. Lord, I want to preach on the new heaven and the new earth. So many new things. I was so excited. It's a new day. God said, "It's a new year. And to start the new year, they need to get in my will. And to start the new year, they need to ask for my will to be done." That man in James chapter 4 said, "I'm going to go to such and such city, and I'm going to buy, and I'm going to sell, and I'm going to get gain for about a year." Who knows what would happen in the next year if you would turn your will over to his will. You stand to your feet. There may be somebody here, I'm just asking, maybe somebody here is just brave enough to step out and say, "God, I want to ask your will in my life. And Lord, I know you have something great planned. And Lord, I pray that you would show me. I want to do it. I want to be in it. But I want you to show me exactly what it is. I want your will for my life. And Lord, I want to confess to you, tell him, I want to confess to you, there have been many, many, many times that I didn't ask your will to be done. Oh, I prayed, but I didn't ask your will. I just wanted you to bless what I was doing." Is there anybody else you need to come and say, "Lord, I surrender to your will today. I want it done in my life." God's looking right now, and he's seeing. We'll see. Father, we bow in your presence and we humble ourselves. God, thankfully, willingly,
God, we want to bow to the will of an almighty God. And Lord, I pray you'd forgive us, Lord, of times that we set sail, times we started out, times we planned to do this or that. We never asked for your will to be done, never prayed about your will, never sought your will. God, it's all true. God, would you forgive us, Lord? Father, we ask your blessing, Father, upon our time together today. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, here's the reins of Bethel Baptist Church. They're yours. They've never been mine. God, I pray your will would be done in this church. God, I pray your will would be done in my life. God, I pray your will would be done in my family. And God, convict me when I try to step outside of your will and plan to do things without your touch and your leadership upon it. God, would you give us counsel? Lord, we love you. We ask God, the short time that we have left upon this earth, that God, you'd give us the power, your power, to praise your name and to lead people to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I love you and I thank you for all you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.